This is the best of BYU Sports Nation. Interviews and insight from This Week in Cougar Sports. Every Saturday, only on BYU Radio. To lead off, here's the double coverage interview of the week.
We like this man, our next guest, because he has strong opinions. And
Okada.
What better person to break down the schedule with those strong opinions than Jonathan Tavernari, who is back on BYUSN. JT, how are you this morning?
Strong opinions and handsome. My mom and my wife keep telling me that, and you guys got to add that as well. So I would appreciate it.
Okay. Hey, you saw the schedule matrix, 20 games for BYU men's hoops. You know the road opponents, the home opponents, and then who BYU will face at home and road. What's the best thing that immediately jumped out to you?
That Kevin Young is going to go 20-0 in Big 12 conference.
Let's send you some goggles, baby.
Let's just cool down with the fire and just say they're going to go 20-0 in conference, right? Because the excitement is kind of cooling down a little bit. No, I actually, once I got this schedule this morning, I was prepping for this. I was taking notes here, and I kind of felt like that meme with the wall full of stuff and you're trying to explain. I will say this. I was thinking back of all of the conversations that you guys had on the show last year. I think back, Jerem, to where you keep saying, if we win 10 games on non-conference schedule, we got a chance. We got a chance. Spencer kept going, hey, I think if we win 9-10 games, we got a chance. And so it's interesting from the previous years how, because of strength of schedule, because of the analytics, how much emphasis you have to put on non-conference and then conference, and also understand Q1, Q2, and so on. I think that, you know, my hope is that the schedule that the BYU is probably going to be somewhere in, you know, the 21, 22 wins overall. I know that the schedule is not out yet. Jeremy, you put a tweet a while ago about the 7 non-conference schedules that they're going on right now, but we're waiting for some final numbers. But I think, you know, Big 12, that's what we're focusing on today. I have my breakdowns here. I would love to hear from you guys, however you want me to share, but I'm hopeful that we're going to go 14-6 in the Big 12.
Whoa!
But being realistic, I think we're going to probably be about 12-8 and 13-7.
Oh, we're talking, that's like top four finish out of 16 teams, JT.
12-8 would be very good. I think you're top six. Yeah.
So here's what I have in the way that, you know, again, you know, being inside the honeycomb, kind of getting something so I could prepare for this. Looking at just the home games, I don't know if you guys can break down the graph like that. Somebody in the control room, aside from maybe
they're scrambling right now.
Perfect. But like, if just the home games, right? The ones that we don't have a home and away, but just the home games, I think we can go 4-1, right? I think that when you look at that, I think Kansas is the one that's a toss up. With Baylor, we play toe to toe at home. Kansas State, we won at home. Oklahoma State, we won at home. And then Texas Tech, I mean, we were giving them the business at Texas Tech. And I think once you add all of the facts of this offseason plus Marriott Center magic, I find it really difficult that we're not going to go at minimum a 3-2. And so my hope that we'll go 4-1, right? I'm wearing my beautiful BYU navy blue. And but I think, you know, if I take a step back and I'm probably thinking we're going to go at minimum a 3-2 at home for just the home games. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I like it. It's minimum 3-2. I think 4-1 is ambitious, but also semi-realistic, because I think you're going to beat Texas Tech, Oklahoma State. I think you beat Kansas State, and then you're going to beat one of two, Baylor or Kansas. To me, Kansas is very improved. Baylor might be more improved than Kansas, in my opinion, based on who they pulled in the portal. But that, just think of those games we have. We were just talking about that. Like, how awesome is this at the Marriott Center? And we haven't even talked about the other five, like Arizona. Those five games are spectacular.
No, and to your point, Jerem, I think all of this, you know, other teams have improved, no doubt. I have a hard time not and playing devil's advocate here. I have a hard time not putting BYU as one of the top five teams in the portal season this year with Kevin Young, with Yegor and Elijah and Keba and Brody. And I mean, my goodness gracious, it just keeps coming and coming. And then, you know, Chris Burgess, the new assistant coaches and everything. You know, we were I would go as far as to say we were the hottest team in the offseason this year. The only ones that got a couple of wash bombs, that has to put, you know, in a scale as well, right? And so, to your point, you know, looking at also the home and away, right, where we have the series, with those teams, I'm hopeful that we're probably going to go 7-3. But I think, again, realistic is 6-4. Jaron, you just mentioned a point that I think it's very valid here. I think about the West Virginia game last season. I've said that before. That was probably one of the only games in the entire season that Foose was 100% healthy for. And look at the destruction, the amount of effectiveness that that man had when we traveled to West Virginia. 24-9, super efficient on the shooting, dominated. And so I think health is obviously, you know, it's one of those things that we talk about every year. But if this team is healthy, right, it is really difficult to think that we're not going to be this successful. You know, I know that there's a chemistry thing that is going to have to get it done, which why I think at worst, we're probably going to go about an 8-3 in the non-conference schedule, right? We're probably going to add another freebies, you know, maybe one or two. We have seven. But, you know, out of the seven, I can't imagine us losing more than two games. I know we have a stretch that we play. I think it's Purdue, and then I think we go to Providence.
NC State or Ole Miss, two of those three in San Diego, at Providence as well, December 3rd, that next week. Yeah, so you've highlighted the toughest games by far. So here's, we know 8 of the 11 reported or published. Central Arkansas appears to be the opener on November 5th. Queens on November 13th, welcome back Bobby Hordusky. Idaho November 16th. Two of these three in San Diego, November 28th and 29th. Purdue, NC State, Ole Miss. Two of those three went to the Final Four, by the way. At Providence, December 3rd in the Big 12 Big East Challenge. Florida A&M, December 20th. That could be the final non-conference game. We'll see. At Wyoming. We'll add three more. We don't know who they are. Hopefully they're quad four, super winnable games. But you're right. The Purdue, NC State, Ole Miss, two of those three. And Providence, those are your three toughest non-conference games.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you look at that, you know, you just go and just take the whole thing that on the three games that are to be scheduled are going to be a win, right, that are absolutely going to be a home run. And so maybe if you drop two of those, maybe three, you're sitting at 8-3. You know, on the home and away series, you know, and also on just the away series, I think when you put it all together, I think it's going to be another 20-win season for BYU. You know, I personally think we're probably going to be sitting at about 22 wins, you know, come tournament time before the Big 12 tournament in March.
Jonathan Tavernari is on BYU Sports Nation. JT, you played against big-name teams, specifically in Las Vegas on a neutral site when I believe it was, what, Louisville and North Carolina back-to-back? Like, those are blue-blood opponents. But it's one thing to play them on a neutral site and another to have multiple of those teams in the Marriott Center. I'd give a lot just to have one team in the Marriott Center that is a top 10. BYU has the opportunity to maybe face three or even more. What does this mean for BYU basketball fans? Like, put this in perspective for them.
You know, as I think about this, I think it's one of the reasons why Kevin Young made the jump, right? It's one of the reasons why Kevin Young decided to come to BYU. You know, I think the only game that I wish we could have had at BYU that we couldn't maybe switch the schedule a bit would be Houston. But my goodness gracious, Baylor is a powerhouse. Kansas is a powerhouse. Kansas State is always fighting to, you know, to go the distance. And then Texas Tech, we know how good they were. You know, I think back to what you said about, you know, games on neutral courts. The fact that BYU played North Carolina State last year and we kind of dismantled them, like it wasn't really a game, and we were able to win, and that team ended up going to the NCAA tournament. I mean, we know that Kansas was kind of having a bad year, a down year last year, but Bill Self was there along with some McDonald's All-Americans. They had some Burger Boys on the squad, so I don't want to hear about having a down year. To have that massive of a win, it's what we were talking about at the roundtable a few weeks ago, Jerem. The Marriott Center magic is real. Kevin Young often talks about when he came to the game that we played against Wake Forest. And I know, Jerem, you were there. I like the comment, by the way, when you guys were ranked the top five international players and you're talking about me and you said, there goes the B-roll. And I was like, I didn't think I was that old. But that atmosphere, Jerem, maybe the Gonzaga wins with Yoli, maybe San Diego State with Jimmer the year after, but there hasn't been a ton of games of that magnitude. But what Kevin Young has built, and to your point, Spencer, playing those level of games in a Marriott Center with the Rock, with the environment, with a fan of family, I kid you not, guys, I don't know if it's the spirit, but I just got goosebumps thinking about how loud it gets.
Oh, man. Seriously. The volume alone, the electricity, just from last year having experienced that, can it go to another level this year? It feels like
yes.
It just might.
Yes, it can, because you've brought in potential NBA guys that we haven't had in a hot minute here, right? We've had NBA talent. We've had international talent for a long time. But we've not had the likes of Yegor Demin in the gym, perhaps since the days of Jimmer and Krešimir Ćosić and Danny Ainge. And I mean, we're talking about he could be one of the greatest BYU basketball players ever. He's coming in with that kind of hype. So it could go up a notch, not to mention Cannon Catchings and the rest of the boys. Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders are like, we're right here. We're the core guys. This group is going to be fun to watch, and we can't wait, man.
You've been working out with them, JT.
Yeah, tell us how that's going. Who sticks out? What's going on?
I think what it sticks out is just how hard these guys go. You know, I think that a lot has changed in the way that you approach basketball, you know. Back when I was doing things, I just wanted to get, 1,000 shots made and a ton of repetition and so on. But what's cool about it is I'm going there and I'm saying, guys, let's do about an hour and a half tops, maybe an hour and 15. And let's just get game rhythm shots where we can go and we can do things exactly how Kevin is going to run during the season and be effective that way. The coolest thing for me is to see, guys that I'm very close with, like Trevin and Brody, and then see, Dallin and Elijah, and see all of these dudes just going at it and just sweating and just being dripped in sweat. And just the effort that they're putting in and out and time again, it is unbelievable. I'm grateful to just be able to do that, not being a part of the staff. I can kind of do whatever the heck I want. There's no limitations on that. I do find it funny that some guys are making, six figures in NIL, but they have to go to class to be eligible, and they can only work out with coaches for an hour a day. And so it's, God bless the NCAA, because they sure need it. But it's been great. And the commitment of them, obviously this started a while ago with Zach Selyus and just communicating with him. And then, Trav came around. Trevin has been around the block for a minute. And so with Trevin, in my relationship with him, obviously I was at BYU with Kristen. I've always felt that Brody and I have a very similar game, except he's taller and, he's much more athletic than I was. But, the high shooting and playing the 3 and 4, being able to catch and shoot and turn around, 1-2 dribbles and bang. Kind of creating a relationship with him and working with him on a lot of different things to improve, sharing my expertise and experience. I feel like that's what an alumni should do. That's what the BYU network and the BYU Hoops family should be, And you see it with, Travis Hansen, being there with Yegor and Kyle Collinsworth, talking in Russian and all of these other things. And that's when I imagined, when I dreamed about coming to BYU, and obviously, I had really good success, my teams and individually, and being able to kind of share that with the next generation. I feel it's a huge blessing that to be a part of that.
JT, always great to catch up with you, man. And you were the perfect guest for the Schedule Matrix. 14-6 would be something, brother.
Woo! I like it.
We'll keep wearing those blue goggles. Thanks, JT.
Appreciate you guys. Meu irmão, abraço.
Abraço.
That was one of our favorite interviews this week. You're listening to the best of BYU Sports Nation. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio.
Let's roll out today's headlines.
The Big 12, or so it's still called, announces its scheduling matrix for both the men and women's basketball seasons. We begin with the men. Arizona, Arizona State, Cincinnati, Utah, West Virginia, home and road games. There's 10 of your 20. Home only, Baylor, Kansas, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech. Road only, Colorado, Houston, Iowa State, TCU, okay. And UCF.
Okay. It's the All-State Conference, right, at some point.
That's what it sounds like.
And the jingle will be, you're in good hands with Big 12.
Oh, my God.
The BYU Women's Schedule Matrix also released. Here is who BYU Women's Hoops will play home and road. Include Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah. Regional ties, that makes a lot of sense. You would
again,
play two games against
no
those.
Colorado.
Just home, Colorado, Kansas, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Houston, UCF. This is a favorable home schedule for BYU. They can win a lot of games at home. On the road, gets tougher. At Baylor, Cincinnati, at Iowa State, yikes, at TCU, excuse me, at Texas Tech, and at West Virginia. So Baylor, West Virginia, and Iowa State were all NCAA tournament single-digit seed teams, and you only play them once, and it's all on the road. That's really tough.
Okay. Men's basketball hires Jordan Brady as the director of player development. He has experience as a G League head coach, assistant. He has experience as a head coach in Hong Kong as well. He played at Salt Lake Community College in Utah Valley, born in Salt Lake, but raised in Vernal. Served a mission in the Philippines. Welcome to Jordan Brady on the staff.
I don't like this trend from BYU women's basketball because former BYU coaches are ending up at Utah. And most recently, it's assistant coach Morgan Bailey, who has taken an assistant coaching job with Lynn Roberts at Utah. Bailey, on staff at BYU since 2022, played at BYU from 2010 to 2015, former West Coast Conference Player of the Year. More on this in the whip around.
Was this all a trade for Burgess? Track and field has multiple runners competing this weekend to try to qualify for the Olympic Games. Tonight, Lexi Halliday-Lowry and Courtney Wayman compete in the steeplechase finals. This is a steeplechase school. Let's go. Five other athletes will compete in qualifying rounds today and tomorrow. Sebastian Fernandez in the 800, Riley Chamberlain in the 1500, Casey Klinger in the 5K, Dallin Schertz in the discus, and Alyssa Keller in the javelin. And Saturday, we talked to him yesterday, James Corrigan will race at Penn University to try and hit the Olympic standard of 8:15 in the steeplechase. If he does, he qualifies for the Olympics.
BYU's already got five former Cougars qualified for the Olympics. It could be seven or eight by the end of the weekend.
It'd be incredible.
Oh, man.
Let's do it.
Good luck to all the runners. The final standings for the Learfield Directors Cup, which measures an entire athletic department's overall status against everyone else in the country.
All the NCAA sports.
Yes. Those were released yesterday. BYU finished 36th. That's a really good number in the Cougars' first year of the Big 12, which was good for fifth best among all Big 12 programs, fifth out of 14. Big 12 foe Texas took first overall this year.
Daniel Schneeman hit cleanup yesterday, played right field for the Guardians, going 1-for-4 in a 4-2 loss to the Orioles. ESPN MLB writer Bradford Doolittle made a list of the MLB midseason awards. Has Daniel Schneeman as the ninth best AL rookie so far this year. After playing in only 18 games, he's had that kind of impact.
He's number one in former Batcats in the Major League race, that's for sure. Good luck to BYU golfer Cooper Jones, who begins play at the Memorial Health Championship in Springfield, Illinois today on the Corn Ferry Tour. Back-to-back Corn Ferry events for him. And good luck to Zach Blair and Patrick Fishburne, who tee off today at the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit, Michigan on the PGA Tour.
Women's volleyball coach Heather Olmstead and former men's volleyball player and assistant coach Jalen Reyes are assistant coaches with the USA U21 volleyball team, who beat Suriname in three sets at the U21 Continental Championships in Toronto. The U.S. plays Puerto Rico in about 45 minutes. A win would send the U.S. to the semifinals.
It's June 27th. So much for being slow.
Yeah.
BYU gymnast Eliza Millar-Crossman named yesterday as the 2024 Big 12 Gymnastics Scholar Athlete of the Year. She earned high scores of 9.9 on the beam and floor this season while holding a 3.98 GPA and majoring in neuroscience.
That's a very academically inclined.
Whoa.
And BYU Swim and Dive announced the passing of pioneer and former head coach Walt Cryer, who passed away on June 20th. He led the Cougars men's program from 1964 to 1972. He went on to earn a PhD from BYU in education, taught many courses from 1975 to 1994 in Provo. As a student, Cryer was an outstanding gymnast at Illinois, where he was part of the 1950 National Championship team. He joined the church in 1959 while living in Illinois, and later served a senior mission with his wife to Albania. Walt Cryer was 95.
We send our collective love from BYU Sports Nation to the Cryer family. Those are your headlines. Now we whip it. The Cougar Whip Round presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
You mentioned some of this already, but what stands out about the women's basketball scheduling matrix?
Just like the home slate, I think BYU, one, they're going to win more Big 12 games than they did last year. It was 6-12 last year. The home schedule should help with that for sure. But the road schedule is tough. Only being able to play, like, not getting Baylor or Iowa State at home, that stinks. Like,
Baylor was your best win last year.
Yes.
Yeah, at home.
So I'd like another shot at both those teams in Provo. You don't get either of them in Provo.
Yeah.
All right, on to the next. Morgan Bailey, speaking of BYU women's basketball, takes an assistant coaching job at Utah. How do you feel about this?
She played for Juddy. Juddy's up there. I understand that. Utah's in a great space as a program right now. But it is always weird to see someone flip allegiances in the rivalry. But was all of this, as I mentioned, just it was a big picture ploy to get Chris Burgess? Like, I'm not sure. It is a loss, though, and it was surprising to me that Morgan took this job.
Yeah, she's a great coach. Probably
I'm assuming she got offered more cash.
Well, Utah's in position to do that because they have been so good consistently for the last 3 or 4 years. Lynn Roberts has an amazing program.
BYU building, and hopefully we'll get to that space in the next couple years. They've got the talent in the gym to get to that.
Hey, BYU gets Utah home this year.
Twice, right?
Yeah.
At home.
Saying, like, they get them at home this year.
And they should play twice forever.
Now they played in Salt Lake last year, but they weren't in the same conference. Yep. Now same conference.
Now they can play twice.
This might go back to the Kalani Sitake deal. Like, you broke down the BYU-Baylor trade title.
You should
do it with Utah dating back to, like, Kalani Sitake.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts.
Granted, he went somewhere else before he came to BYU. He's at Oregon State.
Real quick, Lavelle Edwards has the greatest degree of this because he got his undergrad at Utah State where he played. He got his master's from BYU. And then he actually got a doctorate at Utah. Fun fact. A lot of people know that.
There you go. Even Utah fans love Lavelle.
Brian Logan, that edumacation.
The best of BYU Sports Nation will be back after this on BYU Radio. Get caught up in the week in Cougar Sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Let us now welcome in, as a BYUSN family, Kendra Gillespie of BYU Women's Basketball, recent transfer to the Cougars. Kendra, welcome to BYUSN.
Thank you.
Good to have you here.
You can tell a lot about a person and their swagger by the shoes.
Especially a basketball player. Like, a basketball player's got to bring it. Mm-hmm. You're bringing it.
The cool gray Air Jordan 11s.
You know, I try.
That's okay. Awesome.
So are you a sneakerhead?
I am.
What's your favorite pair of shoes that you own?
I don't know. That's a tough one because I like to switch it up a lot. But I do like the 11s, though. I feel like it can go with a lot of things. I like the 4s as well.
Okay. Yeah. The 4s and the 11s.
Yes.
All fresh. There's not a bad Jordan. I mean, there's some that don't look as cool as some of the others, but hey, 4s, 11s, let's go. Okay. You transferred to BYU from Arkansas State. You were at Baylor before that.
Yes.
You're from Oklahoma, so you have some Big 12 ties. Mm-hmm. What's it like to be now here at BYU? Who's in the Big 12?
Yes. It's amazing being back in the Big 12. You know, it was always a dream of mine as a kid. So I'm pretty excited for this year.
You're from Oklahoma City?
Yes.
Okay, Big 12 country.
Yes,
did you grow up rooting for the Sooners or the Cowboys?
I would probably say more of a Sooners,
but
for football. Other than that, it was just, it's always, you know, bedlam, going at it head to head, but it was pretty great.
And then you went to Baylor, and so you were in the Big 12. So what do we've had 1 year in the Big 12 here.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome in all the sports. It was great. What do we need to know about the Big 12 and Big 12 culture that maybe you know growing up in Oklahoma and having played in this already that maybe we don't know yet?
Yeah, so Big 12 it's a great, great conference. I just love the atmosphere of the Big 12 just because of you go to different states, you get to experience different athletes, whether that's speed, strength, whatever the case may be. But it is it is a pretty tough conference. And it's exciting.
Devoted fan bases.
Yes,
the one thing I noticed on the road, it is, in a lot of these communities, it revolves around the school and the program
like
and
fewer
teams.
Pro sports maybe in that space. That's the team.
It
right?
is. It yeah. is. It demands attention of the communities.
No,
so
it
that
does.
It certainly makes it intense.
It does.
For sure. And a lot of fun, as you're saying. Okay. How much did you know about BYU before BYU popped onto your radar?
So I knew just a little bit. I knew this was last year was their first year in the Big 12. And actually, it's funny because I never been to Utah before my visit, so it was
welcome
like,
to Utah.
it was very different, and I just fell in love with it right away.
What was your not first, to like the mountains.
Yeah,
right?
What was the first thing you were like, "Whoa, I like this place"?
The mountains. It was like
the best.
It was just so beautiful because I come from Oklahoma, so everything's just flat there. So it was definitely a different scenery for me.
Why was BYU basketball a great fit for you?
Just Coach Amber and her coaching staff. I felt the culture, the love, and just the connection during my visit. And I was like, how could I not, you know?
And talking during the break, you don't know any of the current players already. So this is a hi, my name is stickers. You know,
right.
You're getting to know the team right now. How's
exactly.
that going?
It's going good. I mean, just building that relationship on and off the court and having the tenacity to just go at it every day and, you know, be ready for the season.
How would you explain your game to someone that's never watched you play basketball?
I would say dominant. I'm just going to do whatever it takes to win, whether that's send a good screen, rebound, whatever the case may be, because everything else comes easy after that.
Are you a 4 or 5? What's your preferred position?
4 and 5. It's
4 to 5?
You know, it just depends on the mismatch. You know, I'm not really too quick, but my footwork is one of the things that I've worked on over
That's the
years.
Key. Yes. You may be the athlete with the longest hair we've ever seen. You have very long hair. What's it like competing as an athlete with long mm-hmm. hair?
It's fun. It's just, you know, showing that beauty on the court.
Yeah.
And just,
it's awesome.
You know, getting to express yourself.
And that shows up in a myriad of ways, right?
Yes,
you can
does.
Vary it by game, what the hairstyle is going to
yeah,
be?
Yeah, you can.
Does that depend on mood? What's the vibe there with you of what you're going
yeah,
with?
Yeah, just the mood. And then I'm kind of superstitious. So if I'm like one hairstyle, I'm really like getting buckets, and I'm going to do that again.
That one, I'm averaging 12 games.
Don't
game
touch right. my hair.
Right. I love that.
It's lucky hair right
I
now.
I love that.
Kendra Gillespie of BYU Women's Basketball is on BYUSN. What kind of conversations have you had with Amber Whiting about your specific role? So, like, how do you envision your role playing out once you get on the floor?
Really just being tough, like I said, being dominant, and just doing whatever it takes to win, being a leader, because I am pretty experienced. I'm a senior this year, so I know what it takes, and I've seen, you know, the talent. I've been in the Big 12 before.
What are you most excited about for your final season in college basketball?
I'm just excited to learn and grow. I feel like after that, everything else will just come at ease.
Okay, fair enough. Again, when you get on the floor, like, how do you build chemistry with a team when you are so new? And there is a core of players that have kind of been playing together. Mm-hmm. So what's the key to, like, fitting in quickly?
Just learning each other's personalities on and off the court. I think really off the court, just because it'll be easier on the court, just knowing, you know, like, what type of person you're dealing with or, like, the relationship you have. So it's easier to talk to your teammates.
Come from an athletic family, right?
Yes, I do.
So will you tell us about that?
Yeah, so I was always coached by my mom, except for, like, maybe 1 year, which was my last year of AAU. And it was that year was pretty hectic. It was during COVID. I was coached by Jason Terry. So it's been amazing. I always got the question, like, how do you feel, like, being coached by your mom? And it was, like, it was amazing because she just knew what I could do, when I could do it, and she just brought that dog out of me.
You and Amari Whiting can have some conversations
yes,
about that.
Definitely.
Yes, you
definitely.
Can. And on your bio it says you aspire to be a D1 coach when you're done playing.
Yes,
you want to coach.
Do.
Why do you want to coach?
I just think just being a servant to others and just, you know, having that impact on others, not necessarily just about winning games, but building those relationships with those players, and after the fact, like, you know, attending weddings and things like that. I just want to be a mentor to young ladies.
We're so glad you're in Provo and in Utah and enjoying the mountains.
Great to have you. Yeah.
And a part of BYU Sports Nation. Kendra, let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma. Good vibes. Okay?
Yes.
You're superstitious. And the karma will help with that.
Okay. And have fun to practice. You guys are in the middle of going hard right now.
Yes, we are.
Okay, and enjoy that. Be well. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so
much. Kendra.
Kendra Gillespie of BYU Women's Basketball making her BYUSN debut.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
The Big 12 steeplechase champion James Corrigan is chasing even bigger things.
We thought that was pretty cool at the time, and it was.
A trip to Paris,
perhaps,
to run for the United States of America in the Summer Olympics. Now welcoming in James over Zoom. Wow.
What a
last little while for you, James, including the weekend where you finished third in the Olympic trials. How would you sum up your weekend, James?
Man, it was busy. I don't know what else to say. I started journaling this morning and trying to figure out how to put it all down on paper, but I think more than anything, it was just electric.
Okay, in the race, obviously you have goals and aspirations and thoughts going into this. Was a podium finish, if you will, was a top three finish among the possibilities in your mind? Did you think that high?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's the reason you go to a championship. And like I said in my previous interview, you know, you go into these things and you have to expect to win. You don't do it by accident. However, I will say you don't emotionally prepare for what it's actually going to feel like. And I think crossing the line, you saw that. And so less of maybe like shock, it was, oh my goodness, we actually did it, you know? So I guess there was some shock factor for sure. But yeah, you have to plan for it, but you can never fully prepare.
What was it like for you to see your good friend and teammate Kenneth Rooks in the number one spot and then realize, oh my gosh, we being the emphasis, Kenneth and I both finished in the top three.
Yeah, that was special. I know how much pressure was riding on Kenneth to really perform and stuff, so it made me super happy to see him repeat in a very dominant way. And then also the last time we raced was our cross-country national meet. We've never raced in the steeple, and so the last time we raced, we had a very similar, you know, two-person spread, and I was the one who was lucky to turn around and see him, and so this time it was awesome he turned around and I got to say, Kenny, I got third, and just for both of us to share that moment.
It's pretty cool. They should have given you an opportunity, though, on NBC to be able to talk. You know, the top two guys got to talk. They left you out. I was like, oh. And then Kenneth was trying to say something else. They had to go to break. Next time.
No worries. We'll get lots of opportunities.
Okay, walk us through the scenario here, because you finish top three, you're not automatically going to Paris. You have to run within the Olympic standards. So that means this weekend you're going to Penn State, and your boy Kenneth Rooks is going to help you out. Explain to the people what's going to happen this week at Penn State.
Yeah, so actually, I just make sure to say it's not Penn State, it's just Penn.
Penn Relays, the famous Penn Relays. Yep.
Yes, sir. I'm so excited, though. It's going to be awesome. I feel so confident knowing that I have Kenny helping me out, and also just the backing of so many people on social media, as well as people in person helping get the meet ready to go. So I'm super excited to chase the standard. And, you know, there's two options. One is getting the standard, which is obviously going to be the safest way. That's what we're shooting for. And off of world ranking points, we can get some leeway there. So we'll make it happen, and we're excited for it.
Okay, what is the standard for those that are looking for a specific number and something that they can look at and say, okay, he did it or he didn't do it?
Yeah, 8:15. 8:15 is the time to get. So that's the Olympic A standard that I'm trying to get this Saturday.
Have you hit that standard before?
Nope, not yet. I've run 8:21, and I ran that in the prelims. And I know people might be like, that's so far away. How are you going to do that? But really, this entire season has just been a nice long progression. I don't feel burnt out. I'm ready to go. I'm peaking at the right time. And I've also got a lot in me. A lot of these races are run in lane two or kind of swerving around, and they're tactical. And so to really have a race set up just for the time, I'm very confident it will go well.
Could shave some seconds off. That's what we're talking about. And it is unique in that you mentioned you got some pacers. In this, it's going to be unique because you don't have just one guy kind of running ahead of you that you got to keep up with. You're going to have multiple guys. So tell us about the unique nature of that part of this.
It is something very special. I mean, it's not every day you get paced, you know, a race just for you. And there's going to be other guys in there trying to get the standard. And so I'm grateful for that. It's going to feel, you know, even more like just a typical race. But I couldn't be more grateful for everybody who stepped up and was willing to help and find some of these guys to help pace, and for the Pacers being willing to help me chase my dream this in such a short notice as well.
What's your training schedule like leading up to the race, James?
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to do anything crazy, nothing different. We've already seen that our schedule of our normal training block works. And so today, actually right after this, I'm going to go hit a nice workout. So that'll be super fun. And then it'll be pretty chill. Maybe some strides here and there. But honestly, we're pretty locked in, ready to go.
Let's go back to the race in Eugene. There was a fun video that came up of Ed Ivestone and my neighbor, Ryan Waite. Ed is screaming, "Look at James! Look at James!" What's been some of the fun reaction of people who enjoyed watching you? And here it is, we're seeing it on BYU TV. They're freaking out. And then a camera follows them all the way around the stadium to go find you guys and give you a hug. What's been some of your favorite reactions to the race you ran?
Yeah, I asked for some videos from people that got to see the race, and I was not disappointed. So obviously this one from our friend Todd, and then the Stanford brothers, Jacob and Garrett at home, they sent me an awesome one of them freaking out. And my next door neighbors back in Los Angeles sent me a video of their kids freaking out. And I think those were just way, like, everything got way cooler knowing that they had so much fun watching it. And I think that's what makes it even more exciting and just exhilarating, is knowing that everybody else was feeling what I was feeling.
James, how is the running world, and specifically the steeplechase world, observing and viewing BYU right now? What type of feedback are you getting there?
Well, people think we're building an empire in cross-country and track, and that would be right. But I think more than anything, people are seeing BYU at the right time, at the right place. You know, BYU, we're not doing anything, you know, special necessarily. As a program, we definitely are, but there's nothing, you know, more than just being very consistent and consistently good. But I think everyone's getting to see it on the big stage, which is, you know, every single year we do great. But I think it's awesome that on this kind of stage, they're really seeing BYU shine.
Will you explain the relationship with Kenneth Rooks and kind of obviously last, he's had the best year last year and this year, back-to-back USA championships, the NCAA championship and so on, the stumble, the recovery, it's been amazing. Of what he's kind of meant to you in that relationship and the opportunity to perhaps join him in Paris.
Yeah, 100%. Kenny's awesome. I wish our training would have lined up a little more, but obviously as a pro, he's not peaking at the same time that I am on a college schedule. But I think our relationship is definitely one of teammates and friends, but I also look up to him as, you know, someone who can also still give me like coaching tips on the steeple. I mean, he's that good. And so I really appreciate him being very Christ-like and willing to help. I mean, when you're a US champ, you know, you can think you're hot stuff. And I think Kenny does a good job of just taking it in stride, but being very humble and willing to help. So whenever I ask for help, he's always there and he'll give me pointers, but he also is just excited to see what I can do.
All right, James, last question. Is the track at the Penn Relays a fast track? What do you know about it?
You know, it's going to be. After we run under 8:15, it's going to be a fast track. It's definitely mentality. So
it's going to be on fire. It's going to be blazing.
Fair enough. Let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma. And we specifically are asking everyone and anyone within Cougar Nation that can get to Philadelphia for the Penn Relays to come and support James as he chases the Olympic standard Saturday night at Franklin Field at Penn. Race will be at approximately 8 p.m. James, take all the karma. Good luck, man. We'll be watching and cheering for you.
Thank you guys so much.
James Corrigan with us on BYU Sports Nation, trying to get to Paris.
He's going to do it, dude. He's going to do it this Saturday night. I can't wait.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
Let's roll out today's headlines.
You always had a very strong showing at the track and field U.S. Olympic trials the past few days. Kenneth Rooks, Sunday night, won his third national title in the steeplechase. He defended his U.S. title. current BYU athlete James Corrigan took third in the same event. Both ran under the Olympic standard. So Rooks is expected to make the Olympics based on where he is on the list in the world, while Corrigan needs to run a time below that standard in a race this Saturday at Penn State, where Kenneth Rooks will pace him. If he hits the standard, he's expected to be in.
Okay.
In the women's steeplechase, Lexi Halliday-Lowry and Courtney Wayman advanced to the finals on Thursday. This is a steeplechase school. Eight other current or former BYU athletes competed, did not qualify for the final in their event, but seven other athletes will compete Thursday and Friday for a chance to clinch more spots in Paris.
The swim and dive Olympic trials wrapped up this past weekend. Current BYU swimmers Jordan Tiffany and Brad Prolo, former swimmer Peyton Sorensen, and incoming swimmer Lucy Warnick all competing but did not qualify for the Paris Games. BYU diver Mickey Strauss also competed but did not qualify. Still, well done to get as far as they all did.
Since our last live show on Thursday, Daniel Schneeman started in five games for the Cleveland Guardians, unfortunately beat my Mariners in a series, but he recorded three hits, including his second home run, his second triple of the season, with two RBIs. Schneeman now batting .289, eight ribbies. He also made an incredible catch against the outfield wall. More on that in a minute.
He's played six different positions.
Not bad.
Unbelievable. Other Cougars in the minors. Now, Austin Deming recorded two hits, had a double and an RBI this weekend for the Asheville Taurus. Justin Sterner pitched two innings across two outings for the Durham Bulls, giving up two runs and striking out three batters. Cy Nielsen pitched two innings in two outings, gave up two runs, struck out four for the Greensboro Grasshoppers. Nate Daly pitching one inning, struck out two batters for the Bowling Green Hot Rods.
Hey, a couple weeks ago, Kerber.
Had their baby.
Congratulations to those two. Nate and Kent.
Finally, Ryan Brady pitched one inning, gave up one hit, and struck out two batters for the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. Robert Redford approves.
Congrats to BYU golfer Cooper Jones, who finished tied for 16th after shooting 13 under par at the Compliance Solutions Championship on the Corn Ferry Tour this past weekend. He had an exemption as an amateur. Top 25 finish. He earned a spot in next week's Memorial Health Championship in Springfield, Illinois. June 27th through the 30th. We'll visit with Cooper in the next segment. Also in that tournament, Peter Quest, Daniel Summerhayes, former Cougar golfers, competed. Quest finished tied for 16th as well with Coop, and Summerhayes finished 43rd. How about the Cougs
in that tournament? It's one step away from the PGA Tour. Well, it's not like some little tour. This is the next step.
It's
right before the PGA Tour.
Absolutely.
Congrats to former softball pitcher Chloe Temples, who has signed with Hub City Adelitas of the Women's Professional Fast Pitch League, joining former teammate Maddie Bejarano on that squad.
Marina Mata of Women's Hoop signs with the Spanish club back home. She's from Spain. Cady Liceo. Mata appeared in 13 games for the Cougars last season. Best of luck to Marina.
One more golf headline. Congratulations to longtime head coach Bruce Brockbank of the BYU men's squad, who was named part of the Utah Golf Hall of Fame in the class of 2024.
I didn't know he wasn't in it already.
He should have been in it.
So there you go. Yeah, congratulations.
Those are today's headlines. Now some opinions in the whip. Cougar Whip Round presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
BYU football teased a new uniform combination for the 100th season on their website. What combo would you like to see come back?
Just give me the royal blue with the drop shadow numbers and the white pants, Jeremy.
So like the 96.
I want Steve Sarkisian, that 96 squad, yeah. Drop shadows.
I would like mesh royal in honor of the 80s, or tan or orange from the 40s.
Tan?
Did you know the BYU ran with orange? They did for 2 years in the 40s.
I don't know if I can do that.
That'd be terrible.
Straight tan, I don't know if I can do it.
Give me a leather helmet.
All right, on to some baseball. Daniel Schneeman, as we mentioned, is crushing it, quite literally, for the Cleveland Guardians in the major leagues. Hit a home run this past weekend and had a web gem all within a matter of minutes in the same game. Which was better, the home run or the catch, Jeremy?
His hair is the best part of this whole thing. No, he is playing so well. This grab is spectacular. Remember, this is a utility guy. He's like more of a second base shortstop guy. This is not his natural position,
yep.
But he can play any position.
That's why I'm going with the catch.
He is making spectacular plays. Congrats to Daniel.
I'm going with the catch because it's not his position.
That's awesome. That is so tough to make
that play.
Ahead of the Copa America game last night at SoFi Stadium in LA, Neymar, the Brazilian superstar in soccer, met up with Puka Nacua, gave him a Neymar jersey for the Rams. How legendary is this link up as the Rams?
Puka Nacua's fantasy world continues.
He's a Jordan Brand.
He's
a
Jordan athlete. He's one of the best receivers in the NFL after one season.
When he hit my senior year, I was ready to go.
Winner of the 1990 Heisman Award, Ty Detmer.
I could throw it anywhere, any place.
What a fly guy.
Ty Detmer.
Then showed why he's an All-American. He wanted to get in that goal line, and he was not going to let anyone stop him.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. You know what time it is. It's the best BYU quarterback bracket. We are down to just three remaining, and it's about to be two. During the month of June, we're counting down to number one with the help of your votes.
The second semifinal yesterday featured Steve Young and Jim McMahon. And with 69% of the vote, Steve Young moves on. It was about 51-49, Steve, on Twitter. It was Instagram that was overwhelmingly Steve.
Wow.
So we're down to the championship game with the biggest face mask you've ever seen in your life. Ty Detmer taking on Steve Young. Let's remind you about Ty. Overall, number one seed here, because he won the Heisman Trophy, played from 87 to 91 at BYU, over 15,000 passing yards, 121 touchdowns, 29 wins as a starter, beat number one Miami, broke 59 NCAA records, still seventh in career passing yards and 10th in touchdowns in BYU history. People love the Tysman, and I do too.
You know what Ty Detmer never did? He never had a one-loss season at BYU. And that's where Steve Young picks up.
Oh, my.
Steve Young led BYU to an 11-1 season in 1983 and, at the time, the Cougars' highest final AP ranking of number 7. Young passed for over 7,700 yards, 65-plus percent completion percentage, 83, finished second in the Heisman voting, and, of course, was an All-American College Football Hall of Famer as well. Who wins the best quarterback bracket?
The day Ty wins the Heisman, walking into the Hawaii game, they have one loss. They lose to Hawaii. They lose the bowl game to Texas A&M. They're a three-loss team. It was awesome to win the Heisman, but they really kind of tanked out at the end. They were close to that.
I know.
Steve's 83 is really impressive, and his pro football career really weighs into this, I think. This is going to be interesting. I legitimately do not know who's going to win this because people, these are two of the most endeared quarterbacks in BYU history. I would say Ty, Steve, and Jimmer are the most three beloved athletes in BYU sports history.
Yes.
I think it's
Danny Ainge.
Danny Ainge is right there too. There's your top four. That would be a fun bracket.
Okay.
Now that, maybe that's next summer.
The most beloved BYU athlete.
Most beloved, the GOAT of any sport. Huh? Huh? Our producer Golden Potter.
Woo. All right.
Thinking about that this morning?
Writing down the idea.
Next June, what are we doing?
He's also telling us to go to break.
He's also.
So we're going to
do it. Shut up.
Still on the way. Vote in the bracket, okay? Vote! Steve or Ty, you gotta make a choice.
Instagram.
I just told Eddie, just throw it.
Legendary Steve Young.
I'd watched Jim McMahon throw, and I finally realized how you throw a football. One of the most technically sound quarterbacks I ever was around.
This is a big matchup today. Welcome back to BYUSN for our best BYU quarterback bracket segment. We're narrowing it down from 16 to 1. You, the fans, will decide who the greatest to ever play quarterback at BYU is.
Okay, yesterday, Ty Detmer taking on Robbie Bosco, and the winner with 90% of the
90%
vote is the Heisman Trophy winner, Ty Detmer. He is into the championship matchup. 90%. People love the Tysman.
I thought it would be a little closer because of the national championship, but I was with you. I thought Ty Detmer would win.
Yeah.
I just didn't think it would be 90%.
Yeah, 90's pretty convincing. Wow.
The Heisman's... it's a heavy bat.
Turns out if you win the Heisman, people like it. It's crazy.
All right, today's semifinal matchup. Good luck.
How are we going to pick between these two?
Features what? Two College Football Hall of Famers, the two-seed Jim McMahon, and the three-seed Steve
this
Young.
This better be winner by 50.1%. Like, Jim McMahon, the two-seed. Let's talk about him. Played at BYU from 77 to 81, 95, 36 passing yards, 84 touchdowns. It's funny how 84 shows up in a lot of these stats. Led BYU to their first bowl game win in 1980 with the Miracle Bowl. Fifth in the Heisman voting in 80, third in 81. 70 NCAA records, still holds 10. Drafted fifth by the Bears, which is tied for the highest pick in BYU history with Ziggy. Would have been Steve Young had he gone to the NFL, went to the USFL. Won Super Bowl 20 as a starter, 15 seasons in the NFL.
70 NCAA records.
70! Holy mackerel.
The three seed, Steve Young. Some of you think it's ridiculous he is the three seed, but it is what it is. Played at BYU from 1980 to 83. Steve passed for over 7,700 yards, 56 touchdowns, 65-plus percent completion percentage. His senior year was unbelievable in that regard. One of the best, as he set the NCAA single-season completion record, led BYU to an 11-1 finish, their highest ranking ever to date. He got BYU into a final top 10 ranking number 7. That's something Jim McMahon did not do.
How dare you.
And he finished second in the Heisman voting. So that too could be seen as a one-up of Jim McMahon and some of his predecessors. Who's going to win?
Who are you voting for?
The best of BYU Sports Nation. We'll be right back. Rise and shout for the trending topics of the week here on the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Let's get to what's trending.
Last season, I was concerned about BYU, and that was a really fun team to watch because they kind of came out of nowhere.
I think BYU is in position under Kevin Young to be an NCAA tournament team next season.
Trending presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. Holy cow. We mentioned the hype machine is going at a new level for BYU basketball, and this off of one of the most enjoyable, unexpected seasons in BYU basketball history. It was so exciting and so unexpected that when Mark Pope left for Kentucky, naturally, there was just this collective depression that set in around the BYU basketball community. Then the hiring of Kevin Young, and now roughly 2.5 months later, here we are thinking BYU might be better than they were last year with Mark Pope. But the question is, Jeremy, what does better than last season actually look like?
Yeah, so we don't have the schedule, so I can't pin like a number of wins per se. I want to see who BYU is playing first. But certainly you hope that because this roster has more talent. I think it's super fair to say that. That's not an indictment on last year. Just when you're bringing in a projected lottery pick and Yegor Demon and Kanan Catchings is a guy who could be drafted potentially next year as well, and you have Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders and Trevenon Foose, they're all a year older. Dawson Baker off the medical redshirt. Like, why wouldn't this group and Mawit Mag and Kaba Kata, like, you're more athletic, you're longer. I'm not sure it's a better overall shooting team per se, Spence. I think that's the one thing that last year's team may have on this year's team. But you're a better defensive team with Kata and Mag and the length of some of these guys. The roster has been upgraded. Are they a little younger? Yeah.
Certainly.
You're bringing in 6 guys, 4 freshmen that are super notable, 2 transfers with them. But I really like this group. So what would be better is, first off, winning at least a game in the NCAA tournament. You do that, we clearly say that was a better year. And that could be if you finish 8th or 9th in the Big 12.
See, and that, technically speaking, would not be better than
right.
last year.
And how do you define the season? The season is defined by how you perform in the NCAA tournament. Unless you won the Big 12. If somehow you won the Big 12 regular season or tournament, we would hold on to that piece a ton. But we would be even more disappointed by 0 wins in the NCAA tournament. If you win 1 game in the NCAA tournament, you have now put yourself in a spot that only so many BYU men's basketball teams have done. Can you finish 5th in the league? I see BYU finishing 6th or 7th.
The conference and expands and gets better.
I think BYU could finish 6th or 7th and still be like a 5 seed.
Yes.
And you would be a better seed. You would finish lower in the league. I'm hoping for a semifinal appearance in Kansas City at the Big 12 tournament.
Jeremy, there might be
if this team is like that good.
There might be 2 number one seeds out of the Big 12 in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. So go to the tournament, win a game. Now, this team is going to be too good to just expect 1 at some point. I think it's going to be like 1.5 wins is what we're hoping for. Only 2 teams have won twice in the NCAA tournament. You'd have the National Player of the Year. But what we've not said before is, what if you don't have the National Player of the Year, but you have a lottery pick?
But you have a top 10 overall recruiting class.
And you have Yegor Demon.
How about
who,
that?
Who could be a top 10 guy. Now you're in a place where we'll go, I think at some point with this team, they're too talented and athletic and experienced with some guys, yet young. There's a nice blend of that. That at some point, we're going to hope that it's Sweet 16 plus. We really are. I'm not going to say Final Four here quite yet. I just want to enjoy that journey. Because we said Final Four with the Lone Pick 3, and that Unfortunately, that group played 1 year together and they didn't win an NIT game. They did beat number one Gonzaga. That was fun. But it would have been nice to see them kind of grow old together. We're not going to see this group grow old together. We won't. If Demon's that good, he's probably out, baby. And that'd be a good thing.
Feels like 2 years max.
2 years max. And next year, what are we going to be talking about? Yegor Demon and Kenyon Catchings, hopefully, in the NBA draft this week. So, long answer, but win a game in the NCAA tournament and get a higher seed than a six from last year. I really want a five seed for this group. I really
Man. Do. Yeah, the variable there that needs to be taken into context is the fact that the Big 12 will be better than it was last year. Not only does it add teams and expand to 16, which makes it that much tougher, there's more teams you have to go through to finish in fifth place or tied for fifth, but we believe that the competition will get better and stronger. So that is an interesting tidbit to have to mull over when you're considering expectations for BYU. And isn't it wild that BYU lost Jackson Robinson, Ali Khalifa, Colin Chandler, and Noah Waterman, and we're like, oh, clear upgrade. Like, what?
Well, you added two players better than Colin
Chandler. I know,
right?
I know, but that's unbelievable.
And I like Jax. He shot 30% in Big 12 play. It wasn't like he was blowing the doors off, right? But at 14 a game off the bench, that's a good player. I would have loved to have Jackson. But he wasn't shooting his best in Big 12 play, to be honest. But he carried BYU in that NCAA tournament game with 25.
How will it translate if BYU does, and we believe clearly, has more talent on the roster? How will it translate on to wins and losses? Does it mean a win in the NCAA tournament? Because by the time we get to next spring, it will have been 14 years since BYU won a first-round NCAA tournament game. We're not talking first
four. Not talking first four, yeah.
We're talking first round, get to the round of 32. It will have been 14 years since BYU had been to the round of 32.
For as good as this program is and as many wins as it's had, that's pathetic. Like, you've got to win in the NCAA tournament. BYU could do much better. It is a minimum one win in the dance team. And frankly, it's almost so talented, we might be disappointed with only one win. Because you have upgraded the talent in an incredible way. And we hope, if BYU really does have two first-round picks on its roster next year, potentially, let's win two, dog. Let's do something that's only happened twice.
It has taken something extraordinary to get BYU to the Sweet 16.
You got an extraordinary group.
The two times that the Cougars have done it. Yes, this is an extraordinary group. How much time do you give them to gel? And because
one season, because that's what you have.
Because they are young. Like, for me, clearly getting better is just to give me one win. Because it hasn't happened in almost a decade and a half, which is crazy. Which is crazy for how much winning BYU has done. So,
yeah.
That's the clear answer for me. Win a game in the NCAA tournament. If BYU finishes seventh in the Big 12 and it's like, well, they were fifth last year, that one to me is tough.
You didn't have Arizona and Colorado.
And you didn't have 16 teams. You only had 14. So, and it was a little bit down. Kansas is going to be
Kansas finished in fifth. That tells you kind of what happened there. Plus, Baylor got upgraded, dude. Baylor will be legit. Iowa State returns a lot. They're going to be awesome. Obviously, Kansas is going to be
Houston,
fantastic.
Houston, Baylor, Iowa State, Arizona.
Houston's going to be awesome again. I will take...
Who's BYU going to supplant in that group to finish in the top five?
I would take seventh right now. Like, that would be awesome. Well, I actually, I'm lying. I want to see this group and see what they can do. Because it just feels like if you literally have a couple first-round guys, potentially, that you could finish in the top five. But BYU's not unique. Like, you're talking about some of the other schools. They have guys like that they brought in. Like, BYU's not, BYU's probably not even in the top, three recruiting. Like, they're up there, but the Big 12 is legit with the recruiting. They're bringing in guys of the Catchings and Demon ilk.
BYU's got a top 10 recruiting class. They got a top 10 recruiting class. It might be the fifth best in the Big 12.
Right? Like, and it's not about, to me, where you finish in the Big 12 per se or what you even do in that tournament, although it'd be nice to make a run. It's about winning in the NCAA tournament. That's how we're going to define the season. Because if you don't win there, what was the point? We enjoy the journey and enjoy the wins as they go. But after last year, like, it was an awesome year for sure. All you needed was beat Duquesne, and we would have put you in a different place in the history of teams here.
End the drought. Again, we have noted over the past 3 weeks that BYU has made some significant changes in pulling in that recruiting class. And along with that, in the past 3 weeks of the show, we've had the likes of ESPN's Sean Farnham and Fran Fischilla and John Rothstein, big name for CBS Sports, all join our show to discuss the Cougars under Kevin Young and how they think BYU will fare in year one of Big 12 play with KY at the helm.
Yes, the league will be even better next year. It'll be back to what we expected in recent years, where Texas Tech went to a Final Four, Baylor won a title, Kansas won a title.
Guys, I think when you look at the Big 12 next season,
oh man,
I think there is a real chance where we could have multiple number one seeds in the NCAA tournament out of the Big 12.
I think that that's the challenge for BYU fans, is to understand that the roster can be better. You can have a team that actually has better success in the NBA, the NCAA tournament potentially, but you might finish lower inside the Big 12.
This is the reality, yeah. Jerem. All three of them.
This makes sense to everybody, right? You added a couple good teams. Why wouldn't you potentially finish lower and be still better? It makes sense. Next.
All three of them concur. Like, the Big 12 gets tougher. You can finish 7th or 8th and be a better basketball team and go win a game or two in the NCAA tournament.
Just wait till you get a couple ACC teams in a few years into the league, if that happens.
So, again, this is we're coming off a BYU team that was tied for 5th in the Big 12. Like, just crazy, right? They
no expectations.
Blasted expectations because they were picked to finish 13th.
Is it unfair to say that this is Sweet 16 good, this roster? It's not unfair, right? You're kind of too talented to sort of – you're like – again, we're on the 1.5 wins.
I'm not there
yet. We're on the 1.5 wins spot. But if this team can't win one game in the NCAA tournament, what BYU team will? Come on. This team has to win at least one. It's too
good.
That's
where I am. I'm there.
It's too good.
Get to the round of 32 and end the 14-year drought.
And if you really are as talented as it looks on paper, granted, it's 1 year together. Because, again, if you're really good, you bounce to the NBA. If you're super good, you bounce to the NBA. You got 1 year to do it together. Let's go.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton, once again teamed up with Jerem Jordan. And for the second time in the Cougar Council Room, we welcome in the new BYU men's basketball head coach, Kevin Young. Coach, great to have you back.
Glad to be here, guys. Appreciate it.
This is like the June fit. Like, it's hot out. We could go outside. We could go in the gym. Look.
Yeah, you know, it's versatile. You know, it's versatile. Like, this was a new one I just found in the bag, so throw it on.
That's a nice one. I haven't seen that one before.
Yeah, you know, it's special for you guys. Yeah.
When you're the head coach of BYU, you have access to stuff that we can't either. That's pretty nice.
All right, you're amid summer workouts and got the fresh fits going on. How are summer workouts going thus far?
Going good, yeah. It's been good to get most of the guys in the gym. Today we got a big one where we hopefully play a lot. But, no, it's been good. Coaches getting to work, you know, players getting to know the coaches, terminology and all the things that are new that we're just trying to kind of put on everyone's plate.
So Caden Ketchings posted that he's in town. When will Yegor be in the gym with you guys?
He's had a couple of things he's got to take care of, but hopefully later in the week he'll be back in here working out with the guys.
Is that everyone else available and ready to go? Unless they go on their honeymoon like Dawson Baker did a couple weeks ago?
Yeah. Most everybody is. A couple guys are banged up, coming back off some injuries and doing some things, return to play. But, yeah, for the most part, everybody's healthy. And, you know, it's exciting because then we obviously get a chance to see the group together for the first time and, you know, get a better feel for, you know, what else we may need to look to add.
You're full of basketball advice, obviously, but Jerem just brought up the wedding of Dawson Baker. What's the marital advice you give to a guy like that?
Do whatever she says.
That's good advice.
Yeah,
that's very good advice.
Yeah, stay out of the way.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And it feels like so much has changed since last time we had you in studio. And a lot had changed from the point of you taking over to when we finally got you in studio, but things are moving at a lightning pace right now. So, Yegor Demon, Kanan Ketchings, Mawat Mag, Elijah Crawford, all four of those guys have been signed since we last talked to you. What do you think of that core that you bring into the guys that you brought back from last year's squad?
Yeah, no, we like to blend, you know, obviously trying to add certain things that we were missing. you know, those four guys in particular, you know, a lot of size, you know, with three of them and some and athleticism as well. You know, they all bring different things. I know shooting, most, you know, like Cannon's an amazing shooter, got great size, high release, tough to block his shot, you know, big time athlete. You know, Yegor is a, you know, at this point feels somewhat well documented, you know, what he brings to the table, but, you know, unique size and skill level for that level of, you know, length, you know, his ability to handle the ball, pass, be a playmaker. And then pairing him up with some of the other guys that we have, to your point, is exciting for us. You know, Mag's obviously a tremendous defensive player, you know, very experienced, big, strong, bigger than I thought he would be. Usually it's the other way around. Usually they shrink on the plane, but he's good size. And Elijah, you know, great, first of all, great kid, great personality, you know, really brings a lot out in the group, but he's had a really good summer so far. You know, gives us some a little bit more dynamic ability with the ball in his hands. So we love those four guys in addition to the things we've already gotten done.
You got
to
have a Georgia guy, right? With Elijah. Absolutely. Just a little peach flavor there is not too bad, right? Okay, let's talk about Yegor. The BYU has not signed a guy like him before. I mean, you could say Krešimir Ćosić back in the 60s, but he was kind of off the radar. It's different. This guy is big time. When did the conversation start? And at your press conference, you said, hey, I want this to be the best place for guys to develop for the NBA. You weren't kidding in getting a guy like that.
Yeah, you know, it was when I first got the job and I was trying to figure out, you know, staffing and so forth. You know, I wanted to, my goal was to get people that had ties and connections and so forth kind of all over the world. And, you know, we were able to do that with the staff that we were able to get done. And so, early days, it was kind of some conversations about who might be some of those international targets once we had some of the staff put together. He was at the top of that list, and you know, the basketball world is a pretty small one, so you know, a couple calls here and there, you know, ended up being some connections and so forth that we could you know, kind of lock into. And then I think the staff did a really good job of the recruitment and tying into all of our networks and so forth. And you know, that was a target early on, and really happy that it got done.
And one of those guys in the network would be Travis Hansen. Mm-hmm. How pivotal was he as a guy who was popular in Russia as a player, went to BYU, played in the NBA for a bit. He had those connections. Yet, he was like, sure, I'll sell BYU, but the family, he said they were very impressed with you and what BYU had to offer.
Yeah, I mean, interesting thing with that, with Travis, I didn't honestly know Trav at all, like prior to even I'd already had a few conversations with Yegor and his people, and then, you know, ended up having a first conversation with him through that.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And
so that was the connecting piece.
Yeah, you know, which I'm sure we obviously would have gotten connected at some point even without that, but yeah, that's actually what kind of introduced us, which is kind of interesting.
In a little more than 2 months that you've been the head coach at BYU, what's been the most eye-opening or surprising thing that you have encountered?
I think the thing that's probably surprised me the most, and I've made this comment before, but just I thought the NBA world and the college world would just be so unbelievably different in all areas, but in fact, they're very similar. And what I mean by that is just the network of people that I'm interacting with almost on a daily basis are similar to people that I interacted with in the NBA. I thought that would not be the case whatsoever. Even just before I got over here, I was on the phone with someone who I was connected with because of the NBA. We're talking about recruiting, this and that. And so that definitely has surprised me.
Have the worlds blended in any way through NIL transfer portal stuff, or is that independent? Because certainly the game and the way you sort of manage a roster is totally new to the college guys, yet you're like, well, this is more like what I'm familiar with perhaps. But are you talking just like people that you talk to are not as sort of, you're over here, I'm over here?
Yeah, I'd say just the people, you know, just there's the movers and shakers are kind of the same people that move and shake in the NBA, you know, and then same thing here in the portal. And even in the recruiting, you know, not when I say recruiting, I mean just even high school kids, you know, all that stuff is starting to really blend together. And so, you know, for me, and not just me, that's part of why I hired some of the staffing that I did, because, you know, a guy like Will Voigt has been in that same world for his whole career. He knows a lot of those people as well. And so I feel like that's been a real, you know, benefit, you know, for us because of some of the coaches we have. They know a lot of those people because of their past experiences as well.
What do you feel like you know about your team at this point, whether it's basketball observation, getting to know their personalities? What do you feel like you can say confidently, I know this?
You know, I like the character of the group. You know, something that we've vetted quite a bit with every guy we've brought in. You know, that's something that's very similar to the way NBA teams operate. I mean, the amount of intel that NBA teams have on players is really impressive. It's able to actually dip into that a little bit. You know, if a guy comes on my radar, there's a few guys I can call in the NBA that'll send me crazy amounts of information on, like, that player, their circle, all the, you know, their coach, what all people have said about them. So the character of their group, I think, is really high. Everyone understands, you know, the BYU way, and we've been, you know, mindful of that. And then, you know, I think we've done a good job putting together a team of guys that fit, you know, in terms of, you know, different skill sets and things like that. And yeah, that's probably got me excited the most.
Who would have known that the Delaware 87ers would be the crux of the BYU basketball universe, right? And it feels like almost every guy has touched that team in some way, but you pulled in those connections. I want to ask you about Kanan Catchings. Obviously, decommits from Purdue. There's the Tim Fanning connection at Overtime Elite, but it's not automatic. You don't automatically get a guy. You have to have a relationship, and it has to be a good fit. What went into signing him? Because according to 24/7 Sports, he's the highest rated recruit in BYU history. I think Yegor might be number one if he was domestic, but those two are two of the best ever.
Yeah. You know, with Cannon in particular, you know, it's actually been similar to the way a lot of the other recruitments have gone. Like, somebody has a connection, and then somebody else ends up having an additional connection. You know, like Tim obviously coached him. Had a good relationship with his mom, who's amazing. And then, you know, some of his advisors, you know, I had a connection with, and then Will had a connection with the advisor's advisor and so forth. And it's just deep and intertwined, right? But the thing that stood out so far in this whole process is, you know, someone has a connection, they bring that person to the group of coaches. You know, we vet it out. Then when we get them on campus, like, everyone that's come on campus has been extremely complimentary of our staff. And so, you know, most of these guys didn't really know each other, certainly hadn't worked together before, with the exception of a few of them. But I think the staff has gelled really well. I think people can feel that when they're around us and so forth. And so it's just been somebody brings it to the group, and then we all kind of take it and run with it. And that's been a pretty cool thing to watch.
Is that validating for you as the guy who puts this together? Because you really hope it comes together, and it seems like it's gone well so far.
Yeah, it is validating. Yeah, it is. And even, you know, some of those coaches have talked to me separately, like, hey, you know, I wasn't sure about this guy, but I love this guy, you know what I mean? Now, it's easy to say that right now when we're 0-0 and haven't lost or won any games, I'm sure, you know, but that's part of it. But, you know, I think for me, I've been on a lot of different staffs in the NBA, right? And the most fun times I've had as a coach is when the staff all gets along and everyone's rowing in the same direction, and that's really fun. And when it's not that, it really, I think the players can feel it. And so I try to do a good job of getting guys that I thought would all mesh well together.
Kevin Young, the BYU head basketball coach, is on BYU Sports Nation. You bring up Tim Fanning. He mentioned you guys like to go to Shake Shack and talk ball and talk some other technological
Vegas
things,
with
you know,
computer,
whatever, yeah. Okay, analytics, things like that. So you got one scholarship left. If you were at Shake Shack discussing things with your staff, what would you be talking about with that one scholarship remaining?
Yeah, we didn't have any Shake Shack, but we were talking about it yesterday quite a bit. That's funny. I actually forgot about the Shake Shack Vegas. But now we're being mindful of what we feel like. First of all, do we want to use it? You know, there's been some discussion about that. You know, I think there's a couple different areas we could go. You know, a little bit more size is where I'm probably leaning. But we'll see. You know, we'll see what shakes out in terms of who becomes available. I think it's starting to finally slow down a little bit. For a while there was like a new guy that would pop up on the board every other, you know, hour, it felt like. But we have zeroed in on a few more guys. you know, we'll see where it ends up. But size is kind of where we're looking if we do something there.
In terms of scholarship allotment, there's six returners, there's six new guys, several high-profile freshmen. What's going to be the key to this group gelling so that you have a successful first year?
Yeah, I just think they got to play together, you know, as much as we can. You know, I think that's why these summer workouts are good. You know, getting everybody here, being able to just, you know, just play, learn each other's tendencies, learn where guys like the ball and that kind of thing, hanging out with each other, you know, all that stuff's really, you know, I actually laugh because in the NBA, right, you know, this is literally how the NBA preseason works. You show up, like training camp, right, you show up, you have like four practices and then the preseason starts. Like that's training camp. That's it. And so I'm over here and the coaches are like, oh yeah, well we got that. I'm like, man, we have so much practice time before the first game, right? So it's interesting, you know, for me learning, you know, how all that's gonna, you know, go, you know, like come together ultimately, right? So I'm not worried about the gelling part because of that, right? We have so much time. It's not like you just throw it together in a couple of days and off you go. So I'm looking forward to that process of having that amount of practice time and guys being able to figure each other out.
How would you sum up the reception that you have received since taking over head coach at BYU? I know I have a good friend who sent his son to your basketball camp in a Clayton State t-shirt.
That was nice.
Like, wow, Tyler Dunn, shout out, man. Yeah, that was next level.
Did you notice that right away?
Like there was two of them. They were flossing the shirts, and my mind was blown, actually. They definitely made the demonstration portion of the camp when I saw them with the shirts on.
But along with that, how would you sum up just the general reception in roughly 2.5 months?
It's been great. You know, you can feel the excitement, you know, in the community, on campus. It's been really impressive, honestly, just how much people care about what we're doing, whether that's fans, whether that's, like I said, people on campus and so forth. A lot of people coming out of the woodwork I haven't talked to in a long time that would just drop, you know, hey man, love what you guys are doing. But also in the NBA world as well. Like I've had a lot of people hit me up like, man, that's cool what you guys are doing so far. And so obviously a ton of work to do still, but early days, you know, it's been cool for people to be this excited about BYU basketball.
We talked in the opening segment about expectations in year one. The talent is really high. The athleticism is high, as you mentioned. When do you start to analyze what you expect as a group in year one?
You know, I've always struggled with expectations and the idea of like what expectations are, honestly. Like, you know, if you're supposed to do this, then you try harder to do that, or if you're not, you know what I mean? I don't know. Like what I expect is for us to show up every day and try to be, and it sounds extremely coachy, and I try not to sound super coachy all the time, but just try to be the best version of ourselves that day and get better, and the next day show up and get better. Like one thing Monty Williams said every day when I was with him every single day, just like good days add up. And that's kind of, that's what I expect. I expect good days to add up, and you know, where we end up, you know, we'll see. But, you know, the one thing I do expect for our group is just to not believe in what people say. You know, I don't, if whether we're ranked here or we're ranked there, picked this, like we want to be the best that we can be, and we can climb the mountaintop just as well as anybody else. So why can't we do it is kind of the way I see expectations.
All right, Coach, we appreciate the time and you coming in during your busy offseason workout schedule to hang out with us and give us some insight into BYU basketball. And Shake Shack on Tim Fannin.
Tim Fannin for next time.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Thanks guys.
Kevin.
We'll be right back with more of the best of BYU Sports Nation. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Kansas, Houston, and Baylor are all top five teams. Iowa State is right behind those teams. Texas Tech looks tough.
Cincinnati's had a great offseason. It is a gauntlet, and every game is going to be difficult, and every game is going to be a challenge.
What would you evaluate BYU basketball if EA Sports made a college basketball game right now? Jerem, I'd
Super
put them
neato.
High 80s, maybe 90.
They used to have college basketball games.
Why not bring that back?
I don't think they have it anymore.
Let's make that change as well.
They don't want to pay all the players.
Yeah, there aren't as many basketball players, but maybe that price would be higher. A conversation for another day, but I bring up basketball and ratings because 1 hour ago, the Big 12 announced the scheduling matrix for the 2024-2025 basketball season. All of you are taking the blue pill by nature. No one on this program or in the BYU fan base takes the red pill.
The Matrix had just come out prior to my mission, and so one of my trainers said, I can teach you how to be a district leader or an AP. And I said, neither. I don't – what is this? I didn't ask for this.
I'll take the yellow pill.
Elder Mariano, who was known as Elder Ricky Martin because he had danced in a talent show in the mission.
And that's why –
they're like, oh, your trainer's Elder Hiki Marching? I was like, what? I don't know what's going on here.
The relationships right that shape our lives. Shout out to Elder Ricky Martin. Anyway, BYU basketball found out their schedule, Jeremy, who they're going to have at home and on the road, and who BYU will play both at home and on the road. We'll find out the dates of said games later this summer. But here are the teams that BYU will take on this season. First, the home and road squads. Arizona, Arizona State, Cincinnati, Utah, and West Virginia.
BYU will play in the league
twice. Those are the home and road games. So that makes up 10 of the games. Just home. Listen to this. You only play them once. You get them in the Marriott Center. Baylor, Kansas, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech.
Nice.
Like that little vengeance opportunity in Provo against Texas Tech. Now, the just road opponents, Jerem, Colorado, Houston, Iowa State, that's tough, TCU, and UCF.
Okay.
20 games for BYU basketball in the Big 12.
10 home, 10 road.
How fantastic is this? What's the best thing about BYU's Big 12 schedule with the newly released matrix?
Kansas, Baylor, Texas Tech, Arizona at home. That is awesome. I'm so excited for a spectacular home schedule. You rewind to just a couple of years ago, we were getting excited about San Francisco at home at times. Now, this is very different schedule. Pretty cool. I'm especially excited about Kansas at home. That's going to be awesome. Obviously, Arizona is a premier program in college basketball. Welcoming them to the Marriott Center. Old WAC foes back in the 60s and whatnot. It's going to be great, man. And Baylor is very improved. I'm very excited about them. So, yeah, Texas Tech, like you mentioned, a little revenge. Oklahoma State at home, had that last year. That was a crazy game. Kansas State, there was some little vitriol there. Jerome Tang and Mark Pope had some interesting comments off-season, in-season games and whatnot.
Is Quez Glover going to play against BYU at some point?
I thought he jumped in the portal. I don't even know if he's at Kansas State anymore.
It's a legitimate question. I'll look that up. I don't know.
But, yeah, just you look at – we know it's tough. It's going to be fun. But it's fun to have this 20-team – 16 teams with 20 games. It's going to be awesome, man. There's some great games there.
There are two things that immediately stood out, and I'll call them the best things. And it's similar to what you first presented, but you will have three top 10 teams, we think, playing in the Marriott Center.
There will be four, Spence, because at some point BYU will be one of them. Hey!
Let me rephrase. Three BYU opponents that are in the top 10.
There you go.
Playing in the Marriott Center. Kansas, Baylor, and Arizona, in large part, are all projected preseason top 10 teams.
Yes.
Will they all be in the top 10 at the time of the game? I don't know. But the idea that you could have three on your home floor in the same season is unbelievable. You think football is a tough ticket? Basketball is going to be like an impossible ticket for BYU fans.
But the gym's so big.
Oh, man. And it's great. It's good. It's fantastic that it's a tough ticket. BYU also, the number two thing I love, they only play four of the projected top five Big 12 teams in league once.
That's favorable.
And that's specifically Kansas, Baylor, Iowa State, and Houston. Like, you only have one game against those four teams.
Last year, BYU benefited from what ESPN BPI at one point told us was the lowest rated schedule, the easiest schedule. That to some degree, that's why BYU had the success they did. If you had to play Kansas twice, Houston twice, a bunch of teams twice, Who knows, right? Yeah,
granted, the strength of schedule is still like 30 out of 360
right,
teams.
But I'm talking relative to the league.
But to the, like, but the league, it was one of the weaker schedules.
It's not BYU's choice or option to play certain teams. Now, Kansas in the Marriott Center, you like your chances since you got them on the road and so on and so forth. But like Houston on the road would have been a tough game. It was tough enough to lose a close one at home.
Well, BYU gets that this year.
It is a. It looks to be favorable as a Big 12 basketball schedule can be.
You have to play Arizona twice, so you still have six games against preseason top 10 teams.
But you could have had 10. You weren't likely to have
or
10.
Even, I mean, 8 or 9 or 10. Yeah. It's you only play
six.
Four of the top five teams in the league. You only play them once.
Yeah, so the minimum would have been five, that you only played those teams once.
That is favorable, and I like that. The schedule's still going to be ridiculously tough.
Let's talk about a tough portion of this, Spence. There's some real travel for BYU here. So I looked up as the crow flies. Someone tweeted me, have you followed how a crow flies before? No. But as the phrase goes, I looked up as the crow flies to just Provo to that opposing town for the 10 road games. 9,273 miles. BYU's putting in some miles.
They did it to a degree last year. They played at UCF. They played at West Virginia. And they didn't. They played at Iowa State, but they didn't play at Cincinnati.
So in this road, you are going to Colorado. That's not far. Houston, Iowa State, TCU, UCF again. But home and road, you're playing Cincinnati and West Virginia. So Gregor Bell tweeted the following. This is good info. BYU and Utah are the only two of the five Mountain Time Zone teams, Colorado, the two Arizonas, that will visit all three Eastern Time Zones teams. Arizona, Arizona State visit two. Colorado only visits one. All three Eastern Time Zone teams visit three of the five Mountain Time Zone teams. So they mentioned, hey, geography is one of the factors. It's like, is it for these two?
Well, isn't it the Conference? Isn't it the All-State Conference? Well,
where's the Pacific Time Zone?
The All-State Big 12.
Where are they at? Where's Hawaii? Yeah, it's going to be a lot of travel for BYU. But you knew that would be the case. I do like, obviously, playing Utah twice. Wanted that. Excited about that. That's in women's
the
as well.
The proximity
we'll
of Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah, home and road is good.
Is BYU going to play Colorado in sports? No football game with Colorado this year. Only twice in the first 4 years, by the way. 25 in Provo, 27 in Boulder. One game this year. I'm a little weirded out that the next closest opponent to BYU besides Utah is barely on BYU's football and men's basketball schedules. I think that's kind of odd, but hopefully we'll see a little more in men's hoops there. By the way, the Jazz drafted Cody Williams from Colorado last night, notably, with the 10th pick. So yeah. It's pretty good. Not much to complain about here. You got to go and win a bunch of games, but you have a spectacular home schedule. The whole schedule is awesome. I like the 20 games thing.
Yeah.
I just think it just helps your net out a ton. People kind of attack the Big 12 and, they kind of manipulated the schedule to do this. There's just a lot of good teams in this league. I'm not exactly sure what you're getting at, but get in the NCAA tournament, win a game or two, let's go.
BYU fans would have been thrilled, even 4 or 5 years ago, to have one of these top 10 teams at some point in the Marriott Center. One.
In non-con, adding to Gonzaga, St. Mary's.
Just give me one, right?
Yeah.
But now you have three.
And that's preseason. Let's get in season and see what happens.
Texas Tech is supposed to be really
good.
What
if TCU is spectacular or
something? As you mentioned, it's supposed to take a massive step forward.
Cincinnati is supposed to be good. Playing them twice, that's going to be a tough road game. That's it. Yeah.
This is pretty
get you some Skyline chili, dog.
Cool.
Yeah.
Just, again, perspective. Like, even having one of these teams 5 years ago playing in the Marriott Center, it's like, oh, man, circle that game. Cannot wait for that.
Well, because they don't want to come here in non-con.
Now they have to come to Provo.
And
wow, the Big 12 in basketball, the inclusion there is, like, my favorite thing.
Of all the Big 12 things, is men's basketball? Yeah, I think so. And we're feeling that way because we're coming off a good season.
The energy involved in those games last year was off the charts.
And BYU could meet it and win. We were surprised by that, right? Yes. It was like, whoa! We just beat Texas and Baylor and Iowa State. What's going on? This is great.
I'm already starting to
competing
piece together.
Competing with Houston?
Like, I'm looking at the schedules here, and I'm thinking, okay, what would be a good record in 20 games against this group?
10-10.
I said 11-9.
Early thought, 10-10.
To finish over 500 would be something special.
Right. And if you can somehow go 12-8, you're like a four seed or five, which is where I'm hoping BYU is 4 or 5.
10-10, 11-9, we're not far off.
I would take 10-10, though, just because – the league's going to be improved. I've followed the transfer portal and who's gotten what players and whatnot, bro, Baylor got way better. Like, Iowa State is as good or better.
Yeah.
Houston is going to be really good again. Arizona's going to be awesome. And West Virginia's interesting. They lost some transfers, new head coach.
Yeah.
With DeVries, brought in his kid
out.
From Drake, who I saw in person. It was the game after BYU's game in Omaha in the NCAA tourney. So I like this. I do wish we had a little more Colorado on there in football and men's basketball. Just like one combined game in football and men's basketball.
Yeah.
I would have liked two in some manner, but all good. And yeah, of course, playing Utah twice is going to be great. That better be two wins, by the way, of the 10, 11, or 12.
Jared, I'm telling you.
Utah beat BYU last year, but you've got to win that game this year twice.
The key is to go 7-3 at home and 4-6 on the road.
Ooh, 4-6 on the road.
Because on the road, you still play a UCF team that I think will be beatable, and you play at Utah and at West Virginia and at Arizona State.
You got to get 4. Yeah.
7-3 at home. 4-6 on the road. That would give you 11-9.
7 wins out of Arizona, Arizona State, Cincinnati, Utah, West Virginia, Baylor, Kansas, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech. Those are spectacular wins. Like, those are some really good wins.
Protect your home floor.
I can't wait for pre-post games and those guys. I can't wait, man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. We love it, obviously. We love the schedule matrix. We love how it shook out for BYU.
I love the movie, The Matrix.
If you could change anything about it, what would it be?
Little too much travel for BYU. Maybe give me Colorado instead of a second trip to Cincinnati or West Virginia. I'm glad there's not two UCF, by the way.
Yes.
That was a lot last year. Also, those games were terrible. Like, UCF style of play is horrendous.
When BYU was up by 17 with like 2 minutes to go, and then all of a sudden it was a one-point game?
I don't have fun watching UCF play men's basketball. I'm sorry. Like, chuck and duck with minimal quality shooting. Like, million fouls. It was not fun. The game in Provo was terrible. So give me one less West Virginia or Cincinnati game. Cincinnati, because they're pretty good. And give me maybe a second Colorado game.
So I wouldn't change much. But specifically, I liked the rivalry with Iowa State. I wanted a home and road again with Iowa State.
Those are good games.
I like that fan base. I think they're hilarious. They are like rampant.
Yeah.
And how they follow their
team. I respect their fan base.
Yes.
Well. Yeah.
So I would have loved that to continue. Home and road with Iowa State instead of Arizona State. Like, I don't need BYU to play Arizona State twice. Like, play them on the road.
I do for
wins.
Also, we got to get after him after the James Harden Charles Abuo game.
Okay.
There's a little history there, dog.
Whatever. BYU only
played. And beat him last year, by the way, in Vegas.
Listen, BYU fans are going to pack that place. Like, it might be more BYU fans than Arizona State fans at that basketball.
We took your hockey team, and we're going to take a road win in Tempe.
So that's what I'm saying. Give me just a road. Because the home win, it's going to be a quad three, most likely. But a road win might be a quad two.
Maybe.
And then bring in Iowa State, just because I want that rivalry. But maybe that's a little bit too tough. Yeah, we'll see. Then you're adding another top 10 game.
Is Bobby Hurley?
He's still there.
I love Bobby Hurley.
He's still there.
Join the conversation 24/7 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook using the hashtag BYUSN. The best of BYU Sports Nation rolls on after this. Get caught up in the week in Cougar sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Welcome back to BYUSN. It's time for the latest matchup in our best BYU quarterback bracket with your assistance. And during the month of June, we're zeroing in on the best to ever do it as a signal caller for BYU. We're almost down to one. We do have a final four set, Jeremy.
McMahon took down Max Hall with 76% of the vote. So we are to the semifinals today. Ty Detmer and Robbie Bosco.
All right.
It's all chalk into the
semis. It is chalk
in
the final four. Not a shocker. We only saw one major upset leading up to this round. That was Taysom Hill as the 11th seed before he lost to Steve Young. Now it's the Heisman Trophy winner or the national championship winner.
Let's go. Ty Detmer, one seed, over 15,000 passing yards, 121 touchdowns, 29 wins as a starter, won the 1990 Heisman Trophy with almost 5,200 yards of passing, 59 NCAA records, 7th in career passing still, 10th in career touchdowns still in NCAA history.
Robbie Bosco, the four seed, passed for 8,400 yards, 66 touchdowns, completed 64% of his passes, went 24-3 as the starting quarterback at BYU, culminating in that unforgettable BYU national championship.
Look at Robbie go here.
Jeremy finished. He finished third in the Heisman voting twice, and was an AP All-American. Who's gonna win the matchup? Do you put more stock into the national championship or into the Heisman Trophy?
Tight end, we're gonna win this. Love Robbie. He's a homie. Tight end.
All right. Again, to vote, Instagram, X, we'll combine the votes and let you know who wins tomorrow, who advances in the bracket.
I can tell you right now, it's tied over.
But by how much?
There's one of the letters of his name on the mountain. Just put up a T there.
Our question of the day, back to BYU basketball for the BYU men. What would qualify as a better season for the Cougars than last year? Our Elite Voice of the Day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes in from Brightside BYU.
Mr. Brett
on X, who says, all about the tournaments for me. BYU needs to reach the quarterfinals again in the conference tournament and at least one win in March Madness. A few first-round draft picks would also go a long way for future recruiting.
A few? We'll take one. We'll take two as well. We might have
BYU two hasn't had anybody drafted since Jimmer, which was the last time they got to the round of 32. Correlation? Probably.
Let's go.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Kenneth Rooks and James Corrigan in the steeplechase Sunday night at Tracktown USA in Eugene. Some things never change. This is them first and third in the steeplechase in the United States. BYU teammates. Kenneth, a year ago, won the NCAA championship while at BYU. Now he's a pro. And James was just in studio like a month ago after winning the Big 12 steeplechase here. And now he took third. He's got a chance to make the Olympics if this weekend he can run under the qualifying standard for the Olympics. Congrats to those guys.
The list of the Cougars in the Paris Olympics grows. Clayton Young, Rory Linkletter from Canada.
Connor Mance
Jimmer, as well.
Probably Kenneth, now, maybe James, maybe Courtney Wayman, maybe Lexi Halliday-Lowry. We got more, bro. We got more.
Join the conversation 24/7 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook using the hashtag BYUSN. The best of BYU Sports Nation rolls on after this. Get caught up in the week in Cougar Sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. It's time for Top 5 Tuesday on a Thursday, because that's how it shakes out sometimes. The top 5 games we're most excited to watch from the new Big 12 BYU men's basketball schedule matrix.
We chose all home games. Number 5, Cincinnati at home. Okay, revenge game for what happened last year, January 6th, the 71-60 Big 12 opening loss. Trevin Hill's going to make 10 threes in this game after making 9 last year.
Okay. Number 4. Texas Tech at home as the revenge tour continues. BYU lost twice to the Red Raiders in Lubbock after leading by 18, at halftime? Or as many as 18 in the first half?
17.
17 in the first half, okay. Yep. Then kind of got blown out in the Big 12 tournament. No Pop Isaacs for Texas Tech this season. That's good things for BYU.
He's at Creighton, Dallin Hall is not. Number 3, Baylor at home. BYU won in Provo, lost in Waco last year. That was a good little rivalry there. Caleb Lohner, the whole thing. Caleb now at Utah, going to play football too. Bears are going to be really good this year. Probably a preseason projected top 10 team. By the way, 2 first-round picks last night from Baylor. Jacoby Walter and Eve Misi at 19 and 21. They were very talented.
Good to be Scott Drew and Baylor. Arizona, number 2. Another projected top 10 team at home for BYU. The Cougars haven't taken on Arizona since 2010 when Jimmer Fredette led the Cougars to a 22-point win in Salt Lake City at the home of the Jazz.
That was
a
fun game.
He scored 33 in the game. You sidelined that game. Last meeting in the Marriott Center all the way back in 1998.
Those are coming off the national championship, I think, for Arizona, right? And number 1, Kansas at home. The only other meeting in Provo was in the Smithfield House with Kansas in 1960. You remember it, 22 points from Dave Eastus. Big win last year in Lawrence, of course, on February 27th.
Top 5 Thursday presented by eAssist Dental Health Foundation, reminding you dental cleanings are essential for your health. Learn more at visityourdentist.org. Our question of the day, what's the best thing about the BYU men's basketball Big 12 schedule? Our Elite Voice of the Day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes in from Cougar Bell on X, who says, not having to watch the Baylor game with that awful camera angle.
You get it.
No road game at Baylor. Rise of Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
So all the runners from BYU currently or professionally trying to make the Olympics, best of luck to everybody.
Can't wait to watch this weekend. and a farewell of sorts to you.
Yeah, I'm going to take paternity leave starting in about a week. Next week will be vacation. Used to be 5 days, Spence. Now it's 6 weeks. I'm going to take all of that. So, yeah, we're expecting our third kid, a little girl, on probably July 8th. So I'll be back around August 19th in the middle of fall camp. And so I'll miss everybody, but I'll still be on social hanging out. And we'll see you in August.
Okay, so long to Jerem from June 27th until roughly August 19th. Enjoy the time off.
Thanks,
congratulations
man.
To you and Whitney. Super exciting
time. Thank you
time.
So much.
Super exciting time. Our thanks to today's guest, Jonathan Tavernari.
Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time.
For Jerem, I am Spencer. Shout out to Travis Hansen. He doesn't get enough credit, Jerem.
He gets a lot of credit, but we can give him some more.
For Jerem again, I'm Spencer. We'll see you on Monday. Enjoy a recorded special tomorrow. Go Cougs.
That wraps up the best of BYU Sports Nation this week. Tune in next Saturday for the Cougar news you need to hear. And catch the BYU Sports Nation simulcast every day at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, on BYU TV and BYU Radio.